But we're going to continue with our Nuts and Bolts series, and today the title of our sermon is Living the Simple Life Gives No Excuses, from 2 Corinthians 1, 12-22. I know that everybody is, or should at least have been, in the same position where you are with family, or you're with coworkers, or with some people who know you kind of well, and at some point you do something and they say, aren't you supposed to be a Christian? Yes? Mark gets that all the time, huh? No, I'm just joking. I'm just kidding. Well, you know, it always... I remember in high school, everybody knew I was a Christian in high school. It was just... So they were always kind of watching, and especially guys on the wrestling team or the football team, they're always kind of watching me, seeing if I would do something that wasn't in what they thought was line with Christianity. And I would get that, you know, I would get that statement or that question. Aren't you supposed to be a Christian? No. And today's verse kind of deals with that. Today's passage kind of deals with that. Though, in one way, it's a little bit different. Paul is defending himself against his enemies in Corinth. And these guys, he later calls them super apostles. And what they're doing is they're actually accusing him of all sorts of things. And now that seems kind of weird, because these guys would say that they're Christians. At least that's the way they have presented themselves to the Corinthian church there. And so they're saying, well, look at Paul. He does this, he does this, he does this, he does this. He's not a true apostle. He's not a true Christian. I think that we can compare this to our own situation, whether we're in the workplace, we're with our family, wherever we are. And the reason why I say this is because I think the motive behind the super apostles was a very selfish motive. They just wanted to, they were just doing what they were doing to get recognition, to get money. Paul talks about these things later in the letter. They were in it for themselves. And what is the world in it for? They're in it for themselves as well. So I think we can really make a comparison here between what is going on with Paul, what he is saying in defense of himself, and our own lives as we're living amongst the non-Christian world. Okay? If you would read with me 2 Corinthians chapter 1, starting with verse 12. And I want you to try to catch, as we're reading this, what people may be accusing him of. He doesn't, in this part of the in his letter, he doesn't just come right out and say, this is what I'm being accused of, let me defend myself. But there is a sense of a defense going on here. See if you can catch it. Start with verse 12. For our boast is this, the testimony of our conscience, that we behaved in the world with simplicity and godly sincerity, not by earthly wisdom, but by the grace of God, and supremely so toward you. For we are not writing to you anything other than what you read and acknowledge, and I hope you will fully acknowledge, just as you did partially acknowledge us, that on the day of our Lord Jesus, you will boast of us as we will boast of you. Because I was sure of this, I wanted to come to you first so that you might have a second experience of grace. I wanted to visit you on my way to Macedonia and to come back to you from Macedonia and have you send me on my way to Judea. Was I vacillating when I wanted to do this? Do I make my plans according to the flesh, ready to say yes, yes, and no, no at the same time? As surely as God is faithful, our word to you has not been yes and no. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, whom we proclaimed among you, Silvanus, Timothy, and I, was not yes and no, but in him it is always yes. For all the promises of God find their yes in him. That is why it is through him that we utter our amen to God for his glory. And it is God who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us and who has also put his seal upon us and given us his Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. All right, see if your list matches my list here. Here are some possible accusations brought against Paul. Paul is a boastful person. Anybody catch that one? Paul's a boastful... All right, good. Ryan, he's the youth pastor. He should catch that, so... All right. Paul says at the very beginning, for our boast is this. Now, why would he say something like that? For our boast is this. And then in verse 14, he says that on that day of our Lord Jesus, you will boast of us as we will boast of you. And it's probably, the super apostles were probably accusing Paul of being a very boastful person. We saw in 1 Corinthians, as we're going through 1 Corinthians, he makes some pretty boastful statements, what sound very boastful. And we're going to, in a little bit I'm going to talk about this, the difference between his boasting and other types of boasting, but he does seem, to a certain extent, to be a boastful person. The next thing that they might have accused him of was not being a man of integrity, and with that, not being sincere. If you noticed, he says, sort of verse 12 again, therefore our boast is this, the testimony of our conscience, that we behaved in the world with simplicity and godly sincerity, not by earthly wisdom, but by the grace of God. They were probably accusing him of not being a person of integrity. We kind of get that picture in verse 15 and following, because, and I'm going to talk about this, I'm kind of dividing this sermon up into two parts. So 15 onward, we're going to be talking about next time. But I'll just kind of give you a little little foresight. He had told the Corinthians, whether it was through Titus or through someone else, that he was going to go straight from Ephesus to Corinth. But remember, he was kind of waiting to hear back from Titus, and Titus didn't meet him where he was supposed to meet him in Troas. So he went on to Macedonia instead of going to Corinth, Macedonia, and back to Corinth. And so the super apostles were probably saying, look, Paul doesn't keep his word. Paul's not a man of integrity. And not only that, if you listen to the things he says, he's a double talker. He's not sincere in what he's saying. He's just in it for himself. The last thing that they probably accused him of is two more things. Ulterior motives and vacillating on his promises. Paul says in verse 13, for we are not writing to you anything other than what you read and acknowledge. They probably accused him of having ulterior motives. Now, I looked at this list here of things, and I kind of see some things that we may be accused of as well. Let me go back here. We might be accused of being boastful people at times. And in our mind, boasting is a bad thing. We might be accused of not being a person of integrity at times. Because we're Christians, and if we do something that is out of character, out of line with Christianity, or what people perceive to be a Christian action, they may accuse us of not being people of integrity. They may accuse us of not being sincere. I've heard this before, that there are certain Christians who kind of pull a bait and switch. You know, they get up and they give the gospel message, and basically they tell everybody, everything is going to be hunky-dory. Everything is going to be great when you come to Jesus Christ. You're not going to have any more suffering. You're not going to have any more wants. You're not going to have... And so they say, great, this sounds awesome. Man, I want to become a Christian. And then after they become a Christian, then they get into a discipleship group and say, well, you know, it's still going to be tough. It's still going to be... And they're not upfront about it, you know. So sometimes we might be accused of not being very sincere in what we're doing. You know, we're just trying to get people to know God, by any means possible, or, like TV evangelists, we're just trying to cheat them out of their money type of deal, you know? So I just saw on Facebook, I don't remember who posted it today, but it was 700 Club, and I think what they were talking about was old people getting scammed, but the way they, you know, on the TV listing, the way they listed, it said 700 Club, those who scam old people out of their money or something like that. Well, that's kind of the way that people kind of view us as Christians at times, especially TV evangelists, you know. Sometimes we can be accused of having ulterior motives, other times vacillating our promises. So this is what I want to look at Paul's defense here to these accusations. And first let's look at boasting. Okay? To us, When we hear the word boasting, most of the time I think we as Christians would say boasting is a bad thing. You know, there's a lot of scriptures talking about boasting. James 3:1-6. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. For we all stumble in many ways, and if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body. If we put bits into the mouths of horses, so they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. Boasting is a bad thing. James also says in 4:13-17, come now, you who say, tomorrow, today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin. Boasting is a bad thing. Here these people were saying, it's by my power, I'm going to do this or that. Not giving the credit to God. Jeremiah prophesied, thus says the Lord, let not the wise man boast in his wisdom, let not the mighty man boast in his might, let not the rich man boast in his riches. And even Paul himself said in 1 Corinthians 4:7, for who sees anything different in you? What do you have that you did not receive? If then you received it, why do you boast as if you did not receive it? Boasting is a bad thing. Or is it always a bad thing? No, I don't think it always is a bad thing. I think there's two types of boasting. One type of boasting is when you are boasting in your own efforts. You are pointing out how great you are, how gifted and talented you are. Also, I think there is the boasting in someone else's efforts. The boasting that we view as being wrong definitely is the boasting when we are trying to get people to look at us. We're trying to get them to see how good we are, how great we are. But there's also the boasting that I think a lot of us tend to not feel that it's so wrong, and we actually kind of overlook, and that's when we boast about someone else. I was thinking about parents in particular. You know, we like to boast about our kids when there's something to boast about, right? Yeah? You know? Now, I think sometimes parents boast about their kids just because it's not, it doesn't have anything to do with their kids. It's about, look at how great of a parent I am. Look at how I brought up my kids. Look at what I'm, you know. But there are those times when we just look at our kids, and we're not saying, look at how great we are. Actually, we're saying, how in the world did they turn out that way? That didn't have anything to do with me. You know, I look at my daughter, Katiana. I know I'm not supposed to do this, but she, you know, Tammy and I are not very disciplined. We'll be honest. We're not very disciplined people. But Katie is a very disciplined person. I look at her and I go, how in the world does she turn out like that? You know, and I like to boast about her to people, not because it's anything that I've done, because it's something that God has done through her. And I think, really, that's what it comes down to. The correct boasting, the boast that Paul is talking about here, is when he, in particular, boasts about the work that God has been doing in him and in others. He says, yes, look at me, I'm an example. But he doesn't say, look at me because I'm so great. Look at me because of what God can do. You know, he goes, in Galatians, he talks about his, he kind of gives his testimony. I was a Jew of Jews. I persecuted Christians. I was an evil man. I was dragging them into jail. I was killing them. And for some reason, God looked down on me, this awful person, and said, I'm going to use you. And so when he boasts, it's because he's not boasting about anything that he can do. He's boasting about what God can do. You know, and that's why he says in that first verse there, 12, for our boast is this. This is our boast. And he says, this is also the testimony of our conscience, that we behaved in the world with simplicity and godly and sincerity, not by earthly wisdom, but by the grace of God. It's not me. It's God. His boasting, I think, is the right kind of boasting. And he goes on later in this letter, and we'll be talking about boasting again. So we're just kind of touching on it today. But basically, he's saying, if you are going to boast as a Christian, boast about God. and what God does and what God can do, not about who you are or what kind of power or what kind of gifts or talents you have. Boast about God. Always boast about God. We go on, look at another accusation. They said that Paul's behavior, they might have said that Paul's behavior was with ulterior motives and he had no integrity. But Paul said that he behaved with simplicity, or in some of your translations, NIV says holiness. Now the reason why that is because some of the texts, the manuscripts that the Bible is translated from, some of those texts have holiness, some of those texts have simplicity, and I think they both mean the same thing here, really, and I think that's the reason why there's, you can go either way. Really what I think it comes down to is it comes down to integrity. They were doubting Paul's integrity. Integrity means a sound, unimpaired, or perfect condition, or the state of being whole, entire, or undiminished. I was thinking this morning about a sound building is one that is built the way it's supposed to be built, number one, and it's built with quality materials that can withstand the weight and the pressure, and you know, that's a building of integrity. And a person of integrity is someone who is wholly devoted to God, who is wholly devoted to Him. Also, who have within them one simple, single purpose. And I think Paul's simple, single purpose of doing anything that he ever did was because he loved people. He loved people. We see this in his writing. I mean, the reason why he wrote letters is because he loved people. You know, he could have just gone to Corinth, reaped some benefits, left, and just left them to do whatever they did, you know. Or the churches in Galatia, same thing. Or Ephesus, you know, or Thessalonica. All these churches that he visited, but he didn't. He went because, number one, he wanted to proclaim the Word of God, because for Paul, his number one priority was the Word. And he looked at the world through gospel lenses. So his entire, everything that he thought, everything that he did, everything that he said was motivated out of love. He was a very simple person. He says, just look, everything that I have done, the way I've behaved, is simply this. I love you. I love you. He goes on, and he says that he acted out of godly sincerity as well. Well, if you look at God's character, I mean, he didn't just say, I acted out of a sincere conscience. He says, I acted out of godly sincerity. He puts on that what is that, an adjective, right? Or is that an adverb? Adjective, godly sincerity. Okay, there we go. He tacks on that adjective. No, is that an adverb? Come on, Dixie, help me out here. Adverb. Okay, adjective, thank you. All right, so he tacks on this adjective. He doesn't just say sincerity, he adds that adjective godly because he wants them to understand that the sincerity that he has is not a human sincerity, it's not a worldly sincerity, it's a sincerity that God himself has. What is God motivated by? God is love. Again, here we see love. God is love. God's behavior is motivated by his love for us. And Paul says, I imitate God. I do what God does. My behavior amongst you was simple. I did everything out of love. I acted sincerely because I did everything out of love. I am a loving person. He spent a chapter in his letter, the first letter to the Corinthians there, talking about what love is. And if you remember, he put it in context with the spiritual gifts, but he said, none of these gifts, none of these charismata, none of these pneumatikon, spiritual gifts, matter a single thing without love. Because love is, to him, the central characteristic of a godly person. So he acted out of love. I'm a simple man, and I'm a sincere man. And you guys know that. I was standing there with you for a year and a half. I worked amongst you. Just look back and remember the time that I spent with you. It was all about love. Sincerity. Freedom from deceit, hypocrisy, or duplicity. Propriety in intention or in communicating earnestness. Simple love. Well, let's look at his writing, because they probably accused him in his writing as well. Paul says that because of all this, he believed the Corinthians could trust his writings to mean exactly what they said. He was probably being accused of being a person who wrote with ulterior motives. They were probably saying you have to read between the lines here. That's not really what Paul is saying. Paul says, for we are not writing to you anything other than what you... Now, when I first read this, I said read, right? I think it's read. For we are not writing to you anything other than what you simply read and acknowledge. I don't have any ulterior motive here but to show you love and to push you to be godly people, to act as a godly church. That is simply what it is. And he says, you can trust me on this. I write what I simply mean. Nothing else. And then he goes on and says, I mean, he believes this to the point that he can say, really, that in the end, you really have no alternative but to boast of me as I have boasted of you. How is he boasting of them? Whenever he talks about them, he says, he'll say, these are the things that you do, but then he'll say, it is God working in you, or it is God who's done this through you, or it is by God's grace, or it is by, it's God, 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 God. You know? He goes, one day you're going to be able to do the same thing for me. Just so as I boast about you, you will boast about me. He goes on in 13, for we are not writing to you anything other than what you read and acknowledge, and I hope you will fully acknowledge, just as you did partially acknowledge us, that on the day of our Lord Jesus, you will boast of us as we will boast of you. As we will boast of you. I simply am writing what I mean and nothing more. There's no ulterior motive. There's nothing else. What can we learn from what Paul has written in this letter? First off, the message of the gospel is too important to be ignored. It is too important to be ignored. Now what do I mean? Let me put this in context. What I'm talking about is the world wants to ignore the gospel. They want to ignore the gospel message. Don't they? Think about the people around you. Think about family members that you have who are not Christians. They want to ignore it. And they will do anything they can ignore it. But we know as Christians that this message is life-saving. It is perhaps, not perhaps, it is the most important message that we can give anyone. Because without it, people are going to hell. Pure and simple. People are going to hell without Jesus Christ. And we have a responsibility to take that message to everybody. Who in their right mind would withhold a life preserver for someone who is drowning? We were on the lake yesterday, you know, and if one of my kids jumped overboard and started, you know, couldn't swim, can't start drowning, what kind of people would be if we just sat there and watched? When we had the means to help them. We'd be horrible people. And you know what? We are horrible people if we're not taking the message of the gospel to the world. This is much too important of a message to be ignored. The problem is we've got the world who is watching us in hopes of finding excuses not to listen. I think the world really does know how important the message is. But if they can find within us as Christians inconsistencies, they can find us doing things that we shouldn't be doing, it just gives them another reason to say, nah, it's not for me. I don't want to be an excuse for anybody. Do you want to be an excuse for someone? Do you want to be an excuse for someone? No, let me see your head shake. No, yes, no, okay. I don't want to be an excuse for anyone. And here's the other thing. Undoubtedly, the world will level accusations against us. They're going to do it. Whether we deserve it or not, because they're looking for excuses. You're going you're going to be accused of not being the Christian you ought to be. Paul was, by other men who said that they were Christians. They were accusing Paul of not being the Christian he ought to be. If Paul, who I can't think of really, there's not a Christian that has ever lived quite like Paul. And he gets accused by others, we're going to be accused. There's no doubt about it. We're going to be accused, right? How do we make sure that accusations are unfounded? I think we can learn a lesson here from Paul. Just as he was being accused and their accusations were unfounded, we too can live our lives simply so that when we are accused, the accusations will be unfounded. You know, I find that life gets really complex when I'm not supposed to be living the way I'm supposed to be living. You know what I'm saying? Life gets complicated when I am doing things that are not characteristic of a godly man. Life seems a whole lot easier to live when I am trying my best to do the things that God wants me to do. So, accusations will be unfounded if our boasting in God is in God and not ourselves. If our boasting is in God and not ourselves. Think about that. I'm going to say boast. But boast about God. People need to hear about God. If they come up to you, and I'm not saying don't do the false humility thing. Somebody comes up to you and says, hey man, you really got a gift in playing music. You don't have to say, no, I don't have any type of gift. Everything that you see is, I mean, you don't have to be that stinking humble. You know, because I really think that's false humility. That's just really, that's being done to get attention on yourself again. But I think it's okay to say, thanks, I appreciate that. I'm just glad I can serve God. Or I'm just glad that God gave me that gift. It's kind of cool. You know, just humbly, simply, but boast about God. You know? Eric does that. Every time he gets up here and preaches, all I hear about him is boasting about God. You know, and he does. He points at things that are going on in his life, but then he just turns around and says, it's God. It's God. God has done this. God is amazing. God is awesome. God is loving and caring and providing and you know, boast about God. Here's another thing. Whoops. I guess all we're up there, huh? Accusations will be unfounded if our behavior towards others is motivated by God's love. Think about that. The world's going to accuse us undoubtedly, when we act selfishly in front of them. When we make decisions and we do things that are not godly, that are motivated out of selfishness, the world will accuse us. And you know what? Their accusations will be founded, won't they? But what if we just try our hardest to make decisions and to do things that are completely motivated by the same type of love that God has for the world? And when they want to come forward and say, oh, you Christian, you call yourself a Christian, the accusation is going to be unfounded. And you're going to say, yeah, I did what I did out of love. Now, it may not have turned out for the right, you know, the way I thought it was going to turn out. But the reason why I did what I did is because I love you and I love God. The third thing, accusations will be unfounded if our words are simply what they are with no ulterior motive. You know, when we speak, just, you know, Jesus said this, let your yes be yes and your no be no. Don't make promises. Just mean what you say. That doesn't mean that you become all German all of a sudden and just speak out, you know, without any concern for people's feelings or anything. I can say that because I've got German heritage, right? But I noticed when we were in Germany, those guys just said it like what it was. That's just the way their culture is. We just say it like it is. Well, that doesn't work here in America, okay? because people's feelings do get hurt. But you know what I'm saying? Don't, when you say something, mean it. You know? Mean it. I struggle with, I've always struggled with this. You know, I love my kids, and they'll do something. Maybe they'll dance or they'll sing or something like that, you know, and they come up and say, how did I do? And I hear, you know, the parents, how did I do? Oh, you did so wonderful, so awesome. You're so gifted at this. And reality, they're not, you know. It happens all the time, you know. You know, I'd say, you know, I was just saying, hey, good try. Hey, that really made me smile. You know, you do that, don't you? I know, because I've heard Mark do that with his kids, you know. You don't want to lie to them, but you want to be honest with them. And so you find positive things to say still and mean it instead of just lying to them. You know, one day that person's going to come back and say, you know what, you told me I was really good and I suck, you know. And I'm like, I'm sorry, you know. Just simply say what you mean. Be honest. Be sincere. Don't have ulterior motives. You know, we are going to be accused. It's going to happen. Peter says, 3:13-17, now who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled, but in your hearts honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect, having a good conscience. What did Paul say he had? He said his conscience was pure. So that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if that should be God's will, than for doing evil. Peter also says, beloved, chapter 2, 11-12, beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh which wage war against your soul. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. Peter is not saying anything new, because what he is saying is he heard from, exactly what he heard from Jesus. Matthew 5:11-16 on the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are you when others revile you. Not blessed are you if others revile you. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evils against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand. And it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. We are going to be slandered. We are going to be accused. We are going to be persecuted. But those will be unfounded if we try to live a simple life with simplicity and sincerity, out of love, out of holiness, watching what we say, watching what we do. God will use that. God will use that. And people will glorify God in the end because of you. Amen. Where do we go from here? Just a few questions to ask yourself this week. Do I boast? And if I do, who am I usually boasting about? Is my behavior motivated by God's love or my own selfishness? When I speak, do I say what I really mean, or is there an ulterior motive to my words? And then how do I need to simplify my life so that I'm not guilty of accusations made against me by the world? And as always, I encourage you to talk to someone about those questions this week. Will you stand with me? We have a great God, don't we? I sincerely say that. I sincerely say that, though. We have a great God who loves us so much. He gave a son on the cross so that we might have eternal life with him. And he gave us his Holy Spirit, who to this day is presently within us, helping us live our lives as Christians. We need to submit to God, and there are things in our lives that need to be changed. Ryan, I just thank you for being so transparent during communion time. We didn't even talk about what the sermon was about, and yet I thought your communion meditation went so well with what was said. So we all have things that we need to work on. Let's work on them. Father God, we come before you this morning. We just thank you so much for everything that you've done for us and all that you are doing. And we look at what Paul said this morning in his letter to the Corinthians, and we just ask that when we are accused, that we are living our lives to the extent that accusations are unfounded. Father, help us. Help us to be people who don't have ulterior motives. Help us to be people who speak and do out of love. Help us to be people that just reflect you. And may what Jesus said be true, that as people accuse us of doing wrongful things, in the end, may they glorify you because we have done the right things. Thank you, Lord. Help us to go from here today and this week. Help us to, or I just pray that you would orchestrate rendezvous with people who need to know you. And help us to be bold. Help us to be bold in proclaiming you as God and Savior of the world. Lord, it's in your name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, we'll see.